Good morning, everybody. It's H. Weber, the dog in the kennel, on a Monday, the 7th of December, 2015. Good to be alongside you this morning for another edition of my show. And today, we bring in a friend, Laura Turbide, who is the Vice President of Community Services for Finger Lakes Health, and a whole lot more. She's a busy lady, but she's carved out 30 minutes to join us this morning to talk about and send some love to Finger Lakes Health and the Geneva General Hospital and a whole lot more that myself and many people checking out the show this morning certainly use their facilities to the best of their needs. And Laura, without further ado, thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning, Harold. Thanks for having us.
It's nice to have you. You know, I was telling Laura I was up at Geneva General visiting Dr. Gomez's office, and a great doctor, by the way, a good friend. And, you know, I thought about it. They built that beautiful reconstruction of the facility, added a new emergency room, et cetera, et cetera. And I contacted Laura and said, you know, we got to talk about your facility and send out some love to what you folks try to do day in and day out, your passion to give the best health care throughout the area that you service. And let's start off by saying, Laura, the Vice President of Community Service, what does that exactly encompass?
Sure. I'm thrilled to be involved with being able to tell our story, truthfully. So opportunities like this, opportunities to be out in the community at meetings, as well as to help really share not only our services, but what's happening at Finger Lakes Health. We're a community-owned not-for-profit, which means we're really owned by all of us, mm-hmm. and in essence held in trust by our board members. So my role involves things like communications, public relations, marketing, some of the other things, and I also wear another hat as executive director of our foundation and as executive director of the Finger Lakes Health Foundation. We do fundraising and some of the development work to make the services and equipment and things possible so that we can have access to care right here locally.
You know, you talk about Finger Lakes Health, and I remember, just turned 70 in April, I used to remember it as Geneva General, and now we have new names and different disguises of what it actually all is. Explain to our viewers this morning, Laura Turbide's my special guest, what does Finger Lakes Health encompass as far as the unit?
Thanks for asking. Oh, absolutely. We continue to grow. We're a regional health system, which in essence means Geneva General Hospital is certainly a part of that, is our acute care hospital. We have a partner hospital, Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hospital in Yates County, and that affiliation took place in about 1998, so many years now of serving Ontario, Seneca, and Yates County with two hospitals. We also have four long-term care facilities, including Huntington Living Center right here in Seneca mm-hmm. County, the Homestead in Yates County at Penn Yan, as well as Living Center South and Living Center North in Geneva. As a matter of fact, Living Center South was the first hospital-based nursing home to exist in New York State. So for a long time, we've been, I guess, leading the way in terms of partnering and building a continuum of care regardless of people's needs. I think our newest endeavor is really what people are hearing a lot about, some investments in urgent care that many people hopefully are utilizing, and long-term investment in physician practices. So many family health centers, cardiology, dermatology, general surgery, orthopedic surgery, a host of psychiatry, physiatry, and of course family medicine and internal medicine. So we have very, very large numbers of primary care offices from Clyde, as far north as Clyde, as far south as Dundee, and it gives us a chance to provide local primary care access where people can have a medical home with their primary care internal medicine or family practice physician who then can get them connected with all the services they need. And that's been called FLH Medical PC. Many of the practices are called FLH Medical PC, and some of the practices are actually more hospital-based. So that's kind of our corporate structure.
Well, you know, I can speak volumes about getting older, as I just turned a big 70. They say 70 is like a new 55. We'll see if that works out for me. But, you know, I've always thought of, you know, go to the hospital if you have an issue. And I was surprised, maybe even dumbfounded, what was urgent care? When I all of a sudden, how long has urgent care been part of our understanding of it's available? When did that come on, and what was the rationale? To speed up the process, to get in and get out, instead of tying up emergency rooms at hospitals? Is there a reason for that, the urgent care coming on board?
There was, for sure. We certainly were by no means the first people to put a foray into urgent care. Urgent care allows people to have urgent care delivered conveniently, accessible, at a time when maybe it's not a life-saving, sort of life-threatening emergency. So in essence, we say when you have an illness or an injury that isn't necessarily life-threatening, but perhaps it's happened outside your physician's office hours. Perhaps it's something where you need to have an x-ray done. So we have now in Seneca County, most recently moved over to the Life Care practice, is the Seneca County Urgent Care. We also have one in Geneva. We have one in Clifton Springs. And we certainly have continued to see those volumes grow. I had thought that we all thought our emergency volumes might lower and we may see a reduction in emergency room visits when we opened urgent care. And instead, since we've done some renovations at Geneva, we've seen about a 10% increase each year over year in Geneva, but we continue to see our urgent care volumes grow. So we know it's meeting a need. A lot of us work. Obviously, we don't want to have to necessarily miss work if they can't get into the doctor's office, or your child has an earache, or somebody has a sprain or strain or fracture. Mm-hmm. We really recommend urgent care as an option for people to get in quicker, lower copays than the emergency room, and obviously a lot less financially resource intensive. So a sort of a better use of healthcare resources.
Very good. Laura Turbide, my special guest this morning, Vice President of Community Services for Finger Lakes Health. Lauren, talk about yourself personally. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you were born, where you were brought up, where you went on to school, and how you got involved in the health business.
Absolutely. I grew up in Glens. I actually was born in Glens Falls, New York, a little north of Albany, close to Lake George. Spent a few years in Chicago when I was sort of that preschool age, but ended up really being an upstate girl from the time I was probably elementary school age on. I attended St. Lawrence University, also in the North Country here mm-hmm. in upstate New York, and then I did a master's degree at Bucknell University in mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. From there, a sort of past college professor lured me back to the Finger Lakes and upstate New York region to work at Hobart William Smith Colleges, actually. So I had been in working at Bucknell as a college administrator, came to work at Hobart William Smith, and the foray into healthcare really became because I saw such a natural relationship. There's so much education that takes place within healthcare. There's such an important connection that's needed with the community. So the role I had at Hobart William Smith felt very much like a natural transition. I never thought I could imagine myself being out of higher education, and now since 1998 I have been with Finger Lakes Health and very proud to be a part of all the changes and learning every day. Mm-hmm. I think it's the kind of job that you love, because every single day you learn something new, and every week is different, and we're doing something that we know matters.
And it certainly does matter. And I got to be honest with you, I was walking up to Dr. Gomez's office the other day and started thinking about having you on my show. And it's funny, you know, you talk about Geneva General, the way it is now before the reconstruction, after all the great remodeling you've done up there. The only criticism I ever had about Geneva General was going to the emergency room. A lot of people shared my views. You were sometimes out there for 90 minutes or so waiting to get in. And everybody thinks that their problem is the most serious one, which is normal with human beings. But I got to be honest with you, since the renovation and the Rickey family certainly did a phenomenal job. It's named after them. To help out, support that resource-wise. My granddaughter Izzy had an issue from a cheerleading incident. My daughter took her over there, and boom, she was right in, and she got dealt with. And I've noticed that has really changed dramatically, and that is a very good thing for people to get in and get out, you know?
Indeed, and thank you for recognizing that. We doubled the square footage of our emergency department when we did a $56 million renovation a few years ago. We opened about a year ago, June, I think. The time is flying. And in doing so, we have really a goal to not have people wait in a waiting room. Our goal is if we have an exam or a treatment room, our goal is to get people brought right back, have them meet with a provider right away, begin the process of testing and things. We certainly still continue to use a triage process, so the most important life-threatening injuries or concerns are going to have to be addressed first. But if nothing else, people sense movement, and our other goal has been to continue to communicate with people. I think if you let people know what's happening, if you have a bus accident on the throughway that you've got in the back that you're dealing with, at least if we come out and let people know if they are in a waiting room waiting, we know that that's really important. But I agree, emergency room waiting time is something that's important to everyone. When you're in a situation, by the time we choose to go to the emergency room, many of us, we all know we're not your favorite place. We're not your place that you're waking up in the morning planning to come to. But if you are coming, it's because you think something very important is going on and you're concerned. People are most vulnerable. I think it's really important that we've been able to develop a resource. And thank goodness for the Dave and Brenda Ricky Family Foundation for making it possible for us to really continue to invest in this community. Also, shout out to New York State Dormitory Authority. Senator Nozzolio helped us get a lot of the equipment that was part of that renovation. So we had a lot of people investing, and I guess pulling for us to make sure we could have really life-saving care close to home.
And that's true. I got to be honest with you. You know what's amazing to me is I talked to Laura Turbide, our special guest this morning, Vice President of Community Services for Franklin Lakes Health. The thing that's always amazed me, and I thought about it coming in today, driving in for the show. You know, as I was growing up, we all had a doctor. We had a dentist. And did you think in 1998 when you joined the medical field, and you're still obviously a major part of that component, did you ever think that we would have doctors for every ailment that you're hurt from? I mean, it's amazing to me, if you think about it. And again, I just turned a big 7-0. I'm flabbergasted at the people that go to medical school and get degrees and their licenses, etc., to basically handle anything that you may have a problem with. Is that sort of stunning to you that works in the system of all the specialization that we have in the current health field? It's amazing. And it continues to grow.
It is incredible. I feel so fortunate, particularly that we've been able to attract such a wide range of specialists to this region.
Amazing.
There really is a shortage of healthcare professionals. We were even featured a few years ago in the New York Times for being one rural upstate hospital that was able to actually sort of beat the recruitment challenge because we had been able to recruit some of these specialists. But indeed, we know so much more. And again, we probably know we're just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what we know about medicine, about many new treatments always coming out. Important to stay abreast, as I said, that's what makes the field so exciting. But whether it's sort of orthopedics or general surgery, or as we were talking about, cardiologists who then special, or radiologists who then specialize to become interventional radiologists and do interventional procedures to be less invasive than maybe a surgical procedure. The way medicine has transformed, and the fact that there's so much specialization, I think it makes us wonder 20 years from now what will be to come.
And we're going to talk to Laura about the fact that age is becoming a beautiful thing. We are living longer, and that is something that Franklin Lakes Health and all the other institutions across the country are dealing with. You know, that is they have an ad on TV right now about 70 is like 55 and 80 is like 60. And so that's something that we talk about, and it's really a true fact. People are living longer, and that's a good thing. We'll talk about what the Finger Lakes Health, how that interacts with what they're doing day to day. Laura Turbide is my special guest, and she is not a doctor, but if she was, maybe she could meet me in the other room during this commercial break, because I got to be honest, if my wife's watching this morning, I like to admit when I do stupid things. And I did something stupid this morning. Jimmy would get a chuckle out of this. I had planned on bringing my car up to Fusillo to get Mary's car inspected and also get an oil change and also get it cleaned. And off I went this morning, dutiful that I am. And I got up to Fusillo and I went across the street, Jim, at Dunkin' Donuts, your favorite spot. I was sipping a cup of coffee and I got a call from the head mechanic at Fusillo and said, Mr. Weber, your car is not up for inspection until August of next year. So I'm a little 9 months premature, but Mary, if you're watching the show, checking out Laura and myself this morning, not to worry. They did put the registration sticker on the car. They washed the car. They filled the fluids. We're all good here on Weber this week. So maybe it's the forgetfulness of the mind. Maybe, Laura, we can work on that during the commercial break. I like to admit when things are kind of dumb. Hey, we're going to switch the topic after the commercial break, talk about a couple of sports topics. Give Laura a chance to catch her breath, and we'll talk about the aging process, about all of us human beings going to be around a lot longer than probably everyone thought we would. This is Weber This Week on a Monday, the 7th Pearl Harbor Day of December 2015. We'll continue after this commercial break. Cayuga Lake National Bank, Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. DA Liquor, Seneca Falls. Amy Padula and her great team will find that right spirit for you every time. Tell Amy the dog sent you. Cicino's, live, laugh, eat well. It's the Italian way. It's also the Cicino's way. Place your order today at cicinos.com. Locations, Main Street, Waterloo, and 401 Exchange Street in Geneva. The Gould Hotel welcomes you to come out and enjoy the revitalization of this historical landmark. Wednesdays, don't forget Ladies' Night with special priced drinks and half-priced appetizers. Tap is Thursday, and their chef serves a dinner special every night. The Gould Hotel in Seneca Falls. Steve Wadhams, Wadhams Enterprises, your employer of choice. Proud supporter of this show and local athletics. Bob and Leslie Ullman, owners of the Ullman Theater, in Lions as well as the Newark Pilots, a minor league baseball team with a major league ballpark. SenecaFallsCountryClub.com, awesome 18-hole layout, offering a 12-month payment plan, home of the toughest par four in central New York. Wilson Press, WPress.com, Seneca Falls, Rich Rickey, my good friend and his team, can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Rich Rickey, Wilson Press, a fine sponsor of Weber This Week. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Dog with you, H. Weber, on a good old Monday morning, another edition of Weber This Week. Just a reminder, come Sports Stop when I run by before we get back to Laura, our special guest this morning. We have obviously got underway with our 25-game regular season coverage of high school basketball, both boys and girls. Hope you've been able to check out some of those webcasts. I think our team has done a real nice job, and it will continue starting tomorrow night. Our team will be in Newark. The Newark Reds will be hosting the Pena and Mustangs. Jim Senecropi will be producing and engineering that broadcast, and Brendan Harrington will wipe off his tonsils and get ready his larynx and ready to call the play-by-play. Does a wonderful job. He'll be joined by Tani. I never can get that guy's name right. Robinson. He'll be assisting him on the commentary side. We hope that you'll join that webcast tomorrow, about 7:20-ish or in that area, for our live coverage of Newark at home against Pena and boys basketball. And then on Wednesday night, a doubleheader. Let's play two, as one famous Chicago Cub yelled out years ago. Miners Academy boys will travel to take on the Geneva High Panthers. We'll cover the girls at 6 o'clock and the boys following shortly thereafter. Dave Barnick, my good buddy from the South End, who I listened to the other night, took a shot at me, by the way. I noticed he did take a shot at me, claiming that that Ullman Theater that was
opened in 1915,
and wondered if I was one of the first ones to come into theater in 1915. No, David, you missed it by 30 years. The Dog was born in 1945, not 1915. Good shot, and believe me, when I get back on the air in January, I'm off until January unless we need somebody. I'll take a shot back, not to worry. Dave Barnick and Kevin Korzeneski will be on the scene up in the weight room at Geneva High, carrying that doubleheader. Miners at Geneva, we hope that you'll join us, both girls and boys action. Well, the Final Four of the college football has finally been announced. It has been announced, and I don't think there's a whole lot of argument purposes in this discussion. It's going to be Clemson taking on Oklahoma. Clemson, of course, seeded number one. Oklahoma seeded number four. Alabama, they're there again. Seeded number two will take on Michigan State, who had a narrow win against Iowa, landing that spot. Jimmy, opinions on the Final Four? Pretty much what you would expect.
Yeah, there's no surprises there. I guess I'll root for the underdog in there, or maybe the ACC. I don't know. I think they need to expand it to eight teams or more. It's still not exciting. You know, you want to talk about the Final Four.
Right.
Syracuse soccer.
Bingo.
Is in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Then they play Clemson.
That's right.
In the semifinals, so that's something that's pretty exciting.
And you got a new football coach, kind of a quick hire.
Yeah, Dino Babers, that's how they do it. They want to hire these coaches quick so they can get on the recruiting trail and get it, you know, and so there's no, it's like a, you know, a cruise ship. You don't want to leave it without a captain for too long, otherwise it would sink.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love the hire. He's from Bowling Green. He's Syracuse's first ever African-American coach, which Syracuse is a school that's always led the way in terms of civil rights, or, you know, Jim Brown,
right.
Ernie Davis, Floyd Little. Great African-American running backs back when, there weren't many.
And he plays a run-and-gun offense.
Yep, which is perfectly suited for the Carrier Dome. But, again, we've cycled through the coaches, you know, so many times, and you hear the same thing with every new coach. So I'm just going to sit back and wait and see what happens.
That's right. Hey, and by the way, I got to tell you that if you get a chance, we're not only on, obviously, Finger Lakes 1, we also are appearing on the Sports Block on FLTV, which is out of Canandaigua. And, of course, it's called Sports Block, and it airs 7 to 9 on Tuesday nights, most every Tuesday night. And I was able to check it out last week. It picks up, Jimmy, your podcast regarding high school basketball, your rankings, etc., your interviews from previous broadcasts that we do. And, of course, they even had the dog show on, which I kind of liked watching myself, even though it was a week or two later. It was nice to critique myself. And it's called Sports Block. It's on FLTV, Channel 12, here in the Finger Lakes
Time
region.
Time Warner Cable. Yeah.
Time Warner Cable. So check it out. Hey, and by the way, I must tell you, I always have an opinion about things that I think are weird and bizarre in the world of sports. You know, you think about baseball salaries, and for that matter, major college sports. I know this is a capitalistic society we live in, and you get what you can get from your employer. When the Boston Red Sox this past week signed David Price of Toronto and Detroit fame, the guy is an outstanding pitcher in a regular season. He's had unbelievable marks during the regular season. His ERA is 2.6 or 2.8. He usually wins 16, 17 games. I get that. But you know what, folks? You got to hand the ball to somebody who can deliver in the playoffs. It's not about the regular season anymore in baseball, football, or basketball. It's about getting in the playoffs and giving it to your gamer. David Price, with all due respect, is 0-7 in the playoffs. That's not a blimp on the radar screen. That is not looking at a sample of two starts. That's seven starts. He is 0-7. ERA, 6.8. My point is the Boston Red Sox just gave him $217 million, a little bit more than Laura gets paid. $217 million.
It's more than the renovation of the whole hospital. But, you know, it was a $56 million renovation, Laura. Yeah.
$217 million, Mr. Henry and the Red Sox administration awarded David Price a contract. $31 million. And as I like to say about pitchers, they only play once every 4 or 5 days. They don't pitch every day. And my point is, it would seem to me that if Jimmy owned the Red Sox and I was his general manager and Laura and me were the people that were advising the owner, wouldn't you bring up in the meeting before signing this guy to a contract that he's 0-7 in the playoffs and he's got an ERA almost 7? I mean, he's a good pitcher, regular season. Throw some great two-hitters, three-hitters. But it's not about that anymore. It's about giving the ball to somebody who you can count on that's going to win those playoff games. The big ones, 0-7. I couldn't believe they gave him $217 million. Then 2 days later, well, $217 million wasn't enough money. They gave Zach Greinke, the Arizona Diamondbacks, are you ready? $234 million for 6 years. $34 million a year. Unbelievable, Jim. I'm just amazed at the salaries. And then you wonder why hot dogs cost $12 at a ballpark.
Yeah,
it's mind-boggling.
It is, and
just,
you know,
mind-boggling.
Especially when baseball, supposedly the sport that's declining in popularity,
scary,
opposed to football, but
scary.
Yeah, the big TV contracts because they provide so many 162 games.
Yep,
that's a lot of content. So the TV contracts are big, make money at the gate.
Sure,
for all those home games, those 81 home games. So. Yeah, and then they give it all to David Price.
Laura brought up a good point during the commercial break. We're talking about It's a Wonderful Life, ladies and gentlemen. Looking for a little bit of snow coming up this Saturday. Jeff Rook and his great committee will oversee. They're hoping for 4,000. We're not sure how many they're actually going to have for the big race. It starts on the bridge at dusk around 4:40 on Saturday. It should be a great time. People come from all over the country and outside of the country to run in this Is Wonderful Life.
They do.
5K. So we wish Jeff and his committee the greatest of luck. I haven't looked ahead for the long range forecast. I don't
Not
going to
be like it was a couple years ago when it snowed, but that was my favorite one, the year that we got about a foot of snow during the race. That was really a great scene. For the organizers, a little more difficult, but it was a lot of fun. This year, it looks like low 50s.
Ah, wow, low 50s,
yeah,
for race day. Pretty young. Well, let's get back and spend the last few minutes with Laura Turbide, who's been nice enough to come in from her busy schedule to join us. She, of course, is the Vice President of Community Services. Laura, before we took our break and talked a little bit about sports, we talked about the aging and something you're very familiar with. People are living longer. That's a good thing. People are trying to emerge to get on Willard Scott on the Today Show to mention that big 100. And I'm sure that's something in the back of the mind of all the administration of all hospitals across the country. People are indeed living much longer than way back when. your comments about that. Is that that's a good thing? And certainly the medical field needs to keep up, right? Because there's going to be more of us seniors that just hang on and just hang on for good, right?
Indeed. So, without question, not just is not is our nation just living longer, but regionally,
exactly.
And particularly here in the Finger Lakes, we have what's called an aging-in-place population. We don't have a ton of new young families moving in. We tend to have people who've grown up here and sort of aging in place as a demographic. That informed a lot of what we chose to do when we renovated the health system. So, for example, Real Investment Orthopedics, a world-class joint center for people to have hip and knee replacement. It's not just about living longer.
Right.
Our goal is to really ensure that you have high quality of life. So as we live longer, we want to keep active. We want to be out with our grandkids. We want to have that quality of life so that when you do retire and you're finally able to get out and on a golf course more frequently or that you can do so and feel 50 when you're 70. We also are a stroke center of excellence at Geneva General Hospital. Very, very important. I think just for public service, while we're here, to say you have a very short window. About 3 hours is the window if someone's having warning signs or concerns of a stroke of when you can get that life-saving TPA clot-busting medication, in essence. So we're thrilled. We've invested in private rooms for all of our patients in the acute care side, orthopedics, cardiology. Some of these things that we know will help us live longer. Joe Gomez, who you mentioned, has done many sessions of something called cardiac prehab.
I saw one at the Gould Hotel years ago. He was great.
Yes. He is one of those people out there helping us live to the edge and live to the best because, in essence, by offering people a chance before they've had a cardiac incident to be able to do almost cardiac rehab principles, but as prehab. So prior to you having a cardiac incident, he's out trying to help people with all of these modifiable risk factors so that we can not only live longer, but we can live well.
You know, I got to ask you, because it's just dawned on me while you were answering that question. I'm always kind of amazed and sort of amused. You see the Today Show or Good Morning America or CBS in the Morning, and you talk about a coffee's not good for you, one cup a day. Asparagus may not be good for you. This may not be good for you. You see it, I see it. And then a few weeks later, they retract that sometimes. Well, it's okay. Does that drive you nuts? I mean, is that part of the American society landscape today where we're going to have people coming on and indicating this may not be good for me from a nutrition standpoint or for your health? It seems to me, and I'm not taking anything back by saying we should know what's going on, and if certain things aren't good for you, you should not probably eat them. I think where I'm going with my question is they seem to backtrack a lot. Does that drive you nuts like it does me?
I think without question, a lot of research is good. The simpler we can keep it for people,
Bingo.
The more likely people like you and I are going to be able to actually embrace it. I do think that even things like mammogram recommendations,
yep.
pap smear recommendations,
right.
trying to keep up with sort of what's those latest standards. I think the best advice, truthfully, is I always hear this. I don't take the advice, even though I have my own guests on our own radio show. I tend to feel like I should be eating healthier and living that role model life to be out here talking about it. But I will say it's making steps in the right direction, moderation, some of the things that we talk about,
mm-hmm.
and truthfully having a partner in your healthcare. That's why primary care is so important. We talk about getting someone connected with a medical home where there's your primary care physician who you can have those honest conversations. Say, you know what, I'm never giving up coffee. That's not happening for
ice cream.
So what are the things that I can do to balance? Or I'm really struggling with my salt intake. So I think the fact of the matter is you need consistent care versus that episodic care that can happen if you're only utilizing the emergency room. And I think for each one of us, it's about making those choices as best informed as we can. And again, trying to synthesize some of those studies, because without question, they do sometimes conflict. So you need to kind of ask, and it's the physician's role, and they're really great about keeping up on that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to come in and talk to us. I wish the show could have been longer. I appreciate the input, and I know our viewers are a lot smarter now having listened to you for the last 30 minutes or 25 minutes than they would be doing a sports show. So I appreciate you taking time out.
Well, Jim Harrell, thank you so much for
having us.
We're grateful for it.
We hope to have you back next year for an update.
Excellent.
We can fit you in. And by the way, Merry Christmas to you and to your family.
And to you as well.
All right, thank you. Okay, folks, we got a special show, kind of a really hits home show next week. I have a nephew that lives out now in Wisconsin. His name is Josh Dockstader, a name synonymous and a name familiar from a lot of folks from Geneva. He is originally from Geneva. my nephew, and we're proud of him. And I remember him hitting a golf ball with his granddad, Sam, and his brother, Kyle, out in the lawn after Sunday pasta. And he would hit it 6 feet. He was five or six years old. He'd hit it 10 feet the next week and 12 feet the following week. And he would play golf every day. And I remember his father taking him to Silver Creek every single day. What happened to him? Well, he's went out to Arizona, became a pro PGA member, PGA pro, and went out to Arizona in one of the more exclusive areas, oversaw that for quite a while as GM, as teaching pro. Now he's back in Wisconsin with his family, Katie, and the two kids, and he's general manager of a course that is close by to the Green Bay Packers. A lot of the Packers play there. They're going to be hosting Thornberry Golf Club in Wisconsin. Thornberry, they're going to be hosting the LPGA, which is hard to get. They're going to get that in 2017. So my nephew, Josh Dockstader, via phone next week on the show, will get you updated on how he's doing. He's doing great. And he'll tell us about all the exciting things in his life as he was a little kid. And I can still remember him hitting a golf ball, maybe 8 feet. And this kid's got a lot of game and a great, great moving up the scale. So we look forward to talking to Josh next week. Looks like the 21st, myself and Jimmy will be wishing you all a nice holiday, and we'll be just chit-chatting about some hot topics in the world of sports. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow night here on Think Alike's One Sports. Don't forget, Pan Yan travels to Newark. And, of course, on Wednesday night, we'll have the doubleheader from Geneva. Miners Academy from Seneca Falls goes to Geneva. Dave Barnick and Kevin Korzeneski with the call. And, of course, Jimmy and our two great cameramen, the Hunt Brothers. For Laura Turbide and Jim Senecropi, this is the Dog bidding you a very pleasant week, and we'll catch you next week on Weber This Week.
FingerLakes1.com. Visit patreon.com/FL1. FingerLakes1.com.